Ocean FM's Agri Week, where farmers across the Northwest have their say.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to another edition of Agri Week with John Lynch. Coming up on the show this week, Tim Cullinan demands that the new food regulator must be able to hold processors and retailers to account. The IFA president wants the new position to have full powers of investigation and have the ability to impose sanctions. Slowly on the market, farmers will be allowed back ringside for March sales from May the 17th. We'll gauge the reaction of Eimear McGuinness. And we talk to Donegal TD Thomas Pringle on why the Irish government must fight against the European Councils of Ministers on the management of peat soils and new measures that they are proposing. So plenty to come on the programme. But before we start, as we always say in the introduction, if there's anything we can help you with on an agricultural front, please do let us know. And Jarlett has made contact with us during the week. Now, he has a problem with silage bales that are moulded, and a lot of them have gone rotten, unfortunately. Now, he's wondering if there is any place where he could get the plastic wrapping examined to see if it is of good quality. So if you can help out Jarlett there on that, basically looking for some place where he can bring bales of silage to get the wrapping examined to see if the quality is up to standard. Unfortunately, a lot of bales lost there, gone rotten, so he has concerns about the silage wrapping. And if you can help us out on that, please do send us an email, john.lynch@oceanfm.ie, if you know any place where we could get that sorted out for our listener.
Ocean FM's Agri Week, number one in the Northwest for farming matters.
Now let's start this evening by hearing from the IFA president, Tim Cullinan. He claims that the new food ombudsman or regulator must have real teeth and be able to hold processors and retailers to account. The Tipperary farm official has acknowledged that the move by Minister Charlie McConnellogue to transpose the Unfair Trading Practice Directive into national law and to have a public consultation process on the wider remit of the food regulator ombudsman is very welcome. Now he's called for the role to become operational immediately. The IFA president says it must have full powers of investigation, the ability to make findings, and the authority to impose sanctions.
The history of this is going back for a number of years. We had been lobbying in Brussels that we would get a food ombudsman. So, and what was introduced last year in Brussels was that each member state would put an ombudsman in situ to deal with unfair trading practices in the retail sector. But we want this to be far more reaching than just at retail, and we needed somebody with real teeth to go much deeper into the sector. And I suppose if we look at what has happened in the beef task force, that Grant Thornton had been commissioned by the Department of Agriculture to investigate where the margin was along the food supply chain, right from the primary processes to the secondary, right up to the retail, and they have failed to obtain that information. So our minister has committed recently, he actually committed to the Beef Task Force a month ago, that he would seek primary legislation around a food regulator that will give them the proper powers and will be regulated for, that they will be able to seek and get a solution once and for all, so where the margin is going. And you know, we all know for sure it's definitely not with the farm, with the farmer. And you're right, we've seen it again. You know, for the first year ever, there was a decent price able to be obtained by sheep farmers for their lambs. And you know, we hit over the €8 a kilo, maybe €8.30, €8.40 for the first time probably ever. And again, we've seen this weekend, in fairness to our sheep committee, they were quick to observe. Somebody put it up on social media that there was a truckload of carcass lamb coming into the country on Sunday night. And I know our sheep committee did intervene and discovered this was a fact. And like, it's absolutely disgraceful that processors would get up to this these games of importing in lamb, trying to depress the price. So the first year ever that sheep farmers was getting a reasonable return from what the work that they put into their sector.
And it's going to be of vital importance now that when this ombudsman or regulator comes into effect, that they have the powers, obviously, to investigate, but that they also have the powers to sanction any company or any individual found not to be playing ball here.
Absolutely, John. It is one thing finding out what's going on, you're right, but we have to bring sanctions here as well, you know, from within the processing sector and the retail sector as well. You know, I suppose we've seen it ourselves with retailers recently, you know, where we were highlighting what was going on in that sector from misleading and mislabeling, or misleading from fake brands point of view, and major concern with the retailer, and to try to silence our members by taking an injunction out against ourselves and bring us to court. So, I mean, it has been all one-way traffic up to now, so you know, it's absolutely critical, you're right, that I know the Minister is going out for public consultation on this, and this needs to happen immediately, but it's fine putting the person in situ without those powers and without bringing that primary legislation, getting it through the Dáil, so that is critical for us. And I would even go further, and I have raised this in Brussels with the EU Commission last Friday, that is similarly what needs to happen right across Europe as well, obviously because we export into many European markets, that we need the same there, you know, we need a proper regulator across the food supply chain right across Europe as well. So I think, you know, a lot of work has to be put into this area over the coming months and years ahead.
And finally, Tim, I noticed as well where on a press release where you were addressing this particular issue, you have it highlighted that it could be one of the stumbling blocks when it comes to attracting younger farmers to take up a career in agriculture. Your press release says that only 6% of farmers in Ireland are under the age of 35. And you feel that if there isn't transparency there and there's any doubt that whether or not farmers are going to be able to make a living or receive a fair price for the products that they produce, they're simply going to turn their back on agriculture?
Sure. Look, absolutely, John. And you know, I mean, anybody that's going into any sector and young people going into agriculture is no different. They have to be able to see that they can make a living and a proper living to be able to rear a family from that sector. And what we've seen time and time again for the last number of years, there's only one way the price of produce that retailers are buying is going down year after year, and you know, and the only person that's paying for this is the primary producer, and you know, we have to call a halt to this. It's time we call a stop to it now and create a proper income for our farmers. You know, I mean, and if we want to attract young people into the sector, which we do, they have to be able to see that they can make a proper living from the sector.
Mm. Would you feel that that's a big stumbling block as well, maybe when it comes to maybe younger farmers who are already in the industry, let it be working part-time on family farms at home or whatever, and when they see maybe struggles that their parents are going through or whatever, that it's leading to many of them now to say, well, to hell with this, I've had enough of this in my younger years without maybe taking it on in a full-time role?
Of course, John. You know, I mean, if it's not a proper living from farming, well then younger people aren't going to take it on. They've seen already the margins are so tight, and you know, without a proper direct payments at the moment, farmers wouldn't even survive at all, particularly in the beef and the sheep sectors. So you know, this is an opportunity now that we can get a proper return from the marketplace and farmers get rewarded for the top quality food that they are producing.
And I presume you'd like to see this food ombudsman or regulator come into effect and be operational as soon as possible.
Absolutely. As I said, there is two parts to it. The food ombudsman is fine, but we need a proper food regulator with legislation around that person to give them the actual powers and to seek out what's going on in the sector, but also, as you say yourself, to deal with it and bring people... make them to stand up for what they're doing and make sure that there's proper process right across the whole supply chain.
Ocean FM's Agri Week with John Lynch.
Well, last week, the Minister for Agriculture, Donegal TD, Charlie McConlough, confirmed that buyers can return to the mart ring from the 17th of May. Buyers must set up an appointment prior to going to the mart, and online trading will also continue alongside buyers being allowed into the ring to buy and sell. Minister McConlough said that the cattle turnout throughout the period from January to the 14th of March was at 94% compared to 2020, while sheep sales was at 100% compared to the same period last year. Well, the Donegal Mart Manager, Eimear McGuinness, says it's great news that buyers will be allowed back on ringside, and she says the new hybrid system offers farmers the best of both worlds.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, I suppose everyone was sitting yesterday evening and smiling for some reason or another. But, yeah, it'll be great for farmers and it'll be great to get people back in around the rings. They're kind of like desert towns at the minute. We had a meeting with the minister and his department officials on Wednesday, and they had felt at that stage that it would probably be the end of May. But thankfully, we had managers from all over the country at that meeting, and they spoke to the minister. And while the online is fantastic in one sense, there's also problems with it. You know, and I think every market manager explained those difficulties they were having to the minister. And thankfully, we got this news this morning, so we're delighted.
Now, it's going to run in conjunction with the online selling. That's going to remain. That's going to be a model that's going to be used going forward. So in many ways here, hopefully for farmers and for marts, you'll be able perhaps to avail of the best of both worlds.
Well, that is the best of both worlds. And we did see that when we were working the two systems last year. And it's also, to be quite honest, and that was another thing that we pointed out, to us, that's the safer way. As you know, and there would have been many a story of men going to marts and a lot of people congregating or, you know, sitting outside together in vehicles. And to us, we wanted to get rid of that, and we felt it was always safer to have them at given a designated spot at the ringside. They went in, they did their business and they left again. And plus the fact you also have these new customers who go in and view the cattle and go, can go home to their house and bid on the cattle online. So yes, it is the best of both worlds, and it's great to get back to that.
And you've made a very interesting point, Eimear, because even we see it today with stories in relation to, for instance, meat factories, where there's going to be antigen testing taking place there. It's up to each and every sector now of the economy, of society, when they get back up and running, to make sure that there's no outbreaks of COVID-19 in those settings.
Yeah, well, you know, and that would have been, like, me and you would have spoke about this before. That was always our fear. You know, I know we were trying to abide by the rules and do everything was supposed to close, but we were leaving ourselves wide open to that. We always would have held that position that they were a lot safer, and the march flowed a lot more freely when they were given their position at the ring, they bought their cattle and they left. And the next man, if he wanted to get in to buy bulls or whatever else, he came in and took that spot over. And, you know, everything was very controlled. Everyone signed in, signed out. And yes, you are right. Everyone and every sector and every business that opens up over the next few months will have to make sure that they do their business in a correct manner and keep everyone as safe as possible.
And whereas a lot of, dare I say it, maybe the younger farmers will be continuing to operate through online sales, for certain farmers, young and maybe some maybe a little bit older as well, there's an awful lot more here than just buying cattle. They're going to be returning to some degree and some form of social interaction with other farmers, with MART staff, etc. So it's significant news for them for a number of different reasons.
It is significant news, and you know, while it's not exactly back to normal, it's the first step in getting there. And hopefully with the vaccines being rolled out, and especially with the age category of a lot of our farmers, it will make people a lot safer. And it's the first step of moving forward, you know, of getting back to maybe where it will be a social outlet. At the minute, it is just really a place of doing business, but there does be the odd chat when, you know, people outside in the car park, they do have a chat and go about their business. But generally speaking, at the minute, you don't really see anyone in the market. You know, it's kind of in and out and go. And you miss that normality, I suppose, like everything else. You miss the social aspect.
And finally, you've had a, I suppose you could call it a trial run in the past, Eimear, where marts would have had limited number of people in. You know what's involved. You know the, I suppose, the whole protocol that goes now with people coming back into the marts. As you've mentioned, it won't be normal, but in many ways, at least for the time being, it's going to be the new normal, and it's going to add to the workload as well for marts when it comes to staging sales.
Well, straight away, we have to get somebody now to, you know, police the in and out people of moving into the mart. That has to be done, because obviously only a certain amount of people will be allowed into the ring area, and them spots will have to be booked in advance of the sale. So yes, it will mean straight away that one extra member of staff. But at the same time, I still feel from the farmer's point of view, this is what Mart's is all about, being able to go in and buy cattle at the ringside. And for where we had a lot of our customers and everything was done online, we still, over the last few months, would have had older farmers that could not grasp the online system at all. We're just buying cattle at home and in different people's houses. They'll be able to come back in, and they're very important customers to Mart's. You know, every sale we've had while we've been closed, I would have been helping different farmers. Even if I want to buy a few heifers, I do send them down because there's a viewing time. Look at your cattle, see what you want, come back up to me, and I'll do the bidding for them. That happens every sale. It could be with 5 or 6 different customers, you know, and they're very important customers. And thankfully, they'll be able to do that now themselves again.
All right. Okay. Well, look, it's fantastic to see buyers and sellers being allowed back into Mart's. The very best of luck with the next phase of the reopening from the 17th of May. Here's hoping, Eber, that everything goes well and everybody stays safe. And it's great to see some degree of normality slowly but surely returning.
Certainly, John. Thanks very much.
Ocean FM's Agri Week, where farmers across the Northwest have their say.
And finally for this week, a Donegal TD is urging the government to push for a European Council of Ministers proposal on the management of peat soils to be abandoned. Now, the Donegal TD in question is Thomas Pringle. He says it could have a serious impact on many farmers' eligibility for CAP payments. He's looking for the government to back the proposal by the Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association. The Donegal TD says the proposal would mean that up to 50,000 farmers in this country would be required to carry out actions on peat soils that would make farming activity impossible and would also see lands affected and ineligible for CAP payments. Deputy Pringle says, most farmers in the Northwest are small farmers who farm largely on marginal land and hill farms, and that the proposal on the management of peat soils could threaten their very existence.
Yeah, that's right. The proposals under the new CAP, which has been negotiated at the moment, and it's at the kind of, I think it's a trilogue stage now where the Council of Ministers, the Commission and the European Parliament negotiate as to the outcome of the CAP from there. And there is a proposal within that for what's called good agricultural and environmental condition point number two, which would basically could possibly see a lot of peat lands in Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim removed from CAP payments entirely, and that would have a huge negative effect for farmers right across our area, and it needs to be opposed tooth and nail by the government.
Now, if these lands are unapproved for the funding to come through, it effectively could mean the end of farming on many small rural mountainy farming areas.
Yeah, that's true. Like, if it's implemented as it stands now at the moment, that would have a huge impact, and it would make most farms unviable. And now the department and the minister is adamant that that's not the case and that's not going to happen. But the farm organisations are very concerned about it. So somewhere in between is the truth, and we need to get to the bottom of that. And I think the best thing that the department can do is ensure that this isn't in the final cap, and that they can protect the farmers right across Donegal, Sligo and Leitrim.
Unfortunately for many farmers, particularly in the Northwest, small sheep farmers, maybe again operating on difficult terrain by times, it must be said, and relatively low profit margins as well. There is a school of thought among those farmers that there seems to be almost a consensus out there that it's better maybe to have these particular areas used for the plantation of trees or whatever, and let the farming maybe take place in the more profitable regions when it comes, say, to dairy farming further down the country.
That seems to be the move, and the move seems to be that if any money that's saved here will be diverted to the lowland regions and to the dairy farming in those areas, and that would be a very retrograde step, I believe, because, you know, in reality, if the farmers are the people that are going to protect this land and maintain this land, and there's also in terms of climate change and that as well, this land needs to be protected, and the people who own the land and look after the land are the farmers who are the custodians, and they're the people that should be made responsible for it and maintain it, and this won't be helped by removal from the CAP.
obviously there's huge implications here from an agricultural perspective, but equally so socially, and indeed for the very survival of communities. If you start taking an awful lot of these farms out, obviously there's going to be a knock-on effect on local businesses, on schools, etc. So it very much could be the detriment of many rural areas.
Yeah, that's the danger, because you know, if you remove this source of income from the farmers, it makes farming completely unviable in these areas, which means then that for people to live in rural areas becomes unviable as well, and then you get depopulation, which leads to all the knock-on effects as well. And we've seen how that has had an impact up to now, and we certainly don't want to increase it in any way. And if we want to maintain a vibrant environment and vibrant community life, we have to maintain our small farmers as well.
Two prongs to the final question I want to ask you on this. If the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConlogue, and the Irish government try and resist this particular move by the European Council of Ministers, how much weight are they going to carry? And B, how likely are they to oppose it, considering we seem to be very adamant when it comes to government circles to playing very much to the tune that's been set out by Europe?
Yeah, this is the problem. I think that if the department opposed it, and very actively proposed it, and the minister opposed it, it would change. I have no doubt about that. But that's the crux of the problem, and whether any minister will go out to Europe and stand up for Ireland's cause is debatable, I believe. And we've seen, particularly through the fishing and over with the Brexit deal and that there, what the government standing up for Ireland has meant for fishing. And unfortunately, I'd be afraid that we could see the same effect in relation to this agricultural plan as well. And so that's the danger. So that's why we need to put as much pressure on as possible to make sure that they hold the line and they fight for all Irish farmers across the board.
And really, to wrap it all up in summary, Deputy Pringle, without these particular cap payments, it's very, very simple. The sustainability of many farms would come under serious, serious examination.
Exactly. And that's the sad reality of the situation.
Deputy Thomas Pringle, thank you so much indeed for joining us on AgriWeek.
No bother, John. Thanks.
Well, that's about it from this week's edition of AgriWeek. Thank you very much indeed for the pleasure of your company over the last half hour or so. Don't forget, we're back again next week, same time, same place. And as always, there's going to be a podcast of this show available from wherever you download your podcasts from. Check it out on the Ocean FM website. But for the moment, slán agus beannacht.